Today's scripture reading will be in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. That's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for you your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at all other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears."
Good evening, ladies and good morning. I don't want to go too fast. I want to mention to you this evening that we're going to discuss a lesson that has to do with Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 11 through verse 16. And there is an event that happened this week that brought that to my attention, how valuable that passage is. And we're going to talk about being one man in Christ. And I will tell you about what that event was when we get together this evening and how that we're going to tie that into this evening's lesson. Whenever we pray, the greatest tendency for us is that we, when we're done, pray that God hears what it is that we said. And there's definitely some times when we find ourselves thinking, "Well, I wonder if he did hear what it was that I spoke." And being heard is very important to us at that point. Therefore, the tendency is for us to speak many times so that we will have what it is that we say heard, in that case, by God. We don't want him to lose any attention to what it is that we said. We don't want him to forget about what it is that we petitioned to him in prayer. We want to make sure that we're heard. The tendency sometimes for us is that we would rather be heard than we would rather be the one who listens. There are some things that we hear that when we hear it so much that we think, well, we know that, and we know enough about that. Therefore, the tendency is for us when we have heard so much about a certain thing and we know about it, therefore the tendency is for us, almost like an automatic garage door, you just kind of close the door, you mash the button and close the door because you say, "Okay, I've already heard that before. So there's no reason for me to hear this message or this topic or subject again because I already know enough about this and I probably won't learn anything new." Well, I want you to think about this. There's a statement that a man made. He says, "What we think we now know is a barrier to beginning to learn. What we have heard and what we think we know is a barrier to the point that we think we're teachable." In other words, we don't think we'll learn anything any different than what we already know. So therefore, we often want to be heard more than we want to listen. Is that typical with you, that you would rather be heard than you would rather be the one who will sit and listen? And in many instances, that's true. We all find ourselves at that point sometimes that we'd rather be heard than to be listening. So therefore, let me put two things together. If you put together the idea of you knowing something, and you know enough about it, plus the idea that you want to be heard, you put those two things together, then therefore, it's very hard for you to listen when you're always the one that's speaking. And especially if you're the one that already knows about that subject, therefore, there's a tendency not to listen too. So therefore, we take away the idea of James chapter 1, verse 19. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's very important to know that when Peter wrote what he did in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, and verse 13, he was repeating something that these brethren already heard. He said, "I'm putting you in remembrance of these things, even though you already know them." You've already heard them. Okay? We might think, okay, when he says it, it's almost if to say, well, there's no reason for me to listen to anything else you've got to say. You've already told me this, so therefore, why would you want to repeat it? And if you do repeat it, then there's no point in me listening. There's no point in me reading it. There's no point in me paying attention to anything you've got to say. The emphasis upon him repeating it is so that they will listen, because sometimes people don't pick up on it the very first time. And sometimes you could repeat something over and over and they still don't pick up on it until something happens to them that relates to what you're talking about that they've already heard about before. Let me give you an example. TV commercials are very good at repetition. They put these particular slogans and these particular advertisements on TV, radio all the time, and you think, oh, here I got to listen to all this again before the show continues. And you hear this over and over again. And they're trying to sell you this wonderful product, whatever it is. If it's a car or if it's a go to McDonald's, whatever it is. And you are not hungry. You don't want to go eat. Nor do you need a new car because you've already got the vehicle and it's working. So therefore, you don't pay any attention to that until you get hungry. And then they show that and they say, oh, I got to go get me a hamburger. Or until your car breaks down, then you see that commercial, oh, I need to go get me a new car. So therefore, you will listen to something over and over again, and you won't pay attention to it at all, and you hear it, and you say, I know there's a car out there, I know there's this place out there, and therefore it doesn't make any difference to you until you know it applies to you. It may have already applied to you at the very beginning. And I think that's something to think about when the Scripture teaches what it does. There's something to be said for knowing that the Scripture is valuable to us at the very beginning, even though it is repeated, and even though we may have already heard and we may have listened. So therefore, I think it's very important that the very first thing we think about when it comes to listening is it's going to be a heart condition. It's going to be a heart condition. That's what you see here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. You will notice the condition of the heart of Samuel. Now Samuel did not know Jehovah, verse 7. Neither was the word of Jehovah revealed to him. And Eli, realizing a little bit later that this is Jehovah speaking to him, and says, go and lie down, and it shall be if he shall speak unto thee, you will say, speak Jehovah, for the servant hears. For thy servant hears. And that's exactly what he does in verse 10. So his humility to the voice of Jehovah is what causes him to listen to whatever it is that God has to say. And I believe that's a very key point in this, and that is he humbles himself earnestly, like it's stated in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, to what it is that God is saying. And it's not so much that you think, okay, the reason Samuel does this is because he's a very good listener, or he's been trained in some kind of communication course to listen. Well, that's not necessarily true. That he's absolutely been trained in communication skills to be a good listener to God, much less anybody. The point is, he is listening to God speak to him, and that's why he's listening. He's giving respect and reverence to the one who is over all, and that's God. That's why he's listening. And that's why he says, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. However, depending upon the training of the heart will depend upon whether or not there will be anyone who will listen. You think about the idea of children. The training of your heart impacts what you listen to first. It does. When you think about wise children, or anyone who is wise, you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 2, and you will look carefully to what the wise man has to say. And this is what he says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay out my commandment with thee, so as to incline that ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if you cry after discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if thou seekest silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And you will have the knowledge of God. Therefore, the heart condition has a lot to do with whether or not the individual is going to be listening to what's been said. Same book, Proverbs chapter 29, says it this way regarding the idea of a child. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. Therefore, the training of the individual's heart to say, in that case, is do whatever you want to. That child's just been trained to do whatever they so choose, then they're going to do whatever they so choose. Whatever that child's heart is trained to do, that's the direction they're going. Now, if it were to be that that child was disciplined, given instruction, given a law, given a standard, given some kind of idea of what pattern to follow, then that training will depend upon what that child's going to listen to. They're going to listen to that which is wise, or they're going to listen to that which they want to do and what makes them feel good. The training of the heart. All of our hearts. There must be something understood with the training of a child. That heart that is trained of that child soon changes into the heart of an adult. And when that heart changes into the heart of an adult, then that child gets more training. Either he will or she will return back to the training of which they received as a child from the instructions of God, and they'll continue in that path and pattern, or they will listen to all the things in the world, and then that becomes their training. All the things that are taking place by the philosophies and the ideas and the traditions and the prejudices and the bias and the lies and all the things that are going on in the philosophies of the world, then they get that kind of training, and then that is what they're going to listen to first. Therefore, if someone were to present the wisdom of the Word to them, then they're going to say, wait a minute. I've got to filter that through what I've already been trained in, and that is the philosophies of the lies and the traditions of the world and what they think I should be doing. Our training changes to the point that we begin to listen to what our heart wants to find and hear first. Just push all that other stuff aside. It doesn't really matter. I think there's something to be said for when we talk about this idea of listening, the successful, powerful nature of the Scripture will succeed in the heart that is ready to listen to it or to hear it. The power of the gospel goes into the heart that's ready to listen to it. Mark chapter 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The power of that passage cannot be fully experienced only by taking part of that out and saying, that's what applies to me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as God also in Christ forgave you." The power of that passage to forgive is not based upon the fact that I don't know if I want to do this or not. In other words, the power of Ephesians 4, verse 32 is not dependent upon me saying, okay, I'm going to put the conditions on the process of this idea of forgiveness. The passage is to be heard, and the power of it is experienced through what you see in the Scripture teaching you. It succeeds if we listen to it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit." The power of the person that teaches the gospel is only if that person heeds to what he is taught, the listening. Example, case in point, is the book of Luke chapter 8 with the parable of the sower. If you notice in that text, in the book of Luke chapter 8, there is something that is stated with that's familiar with every single heart, or every single soil. In Luke chapter 8, you will notice at the beginning of each one, for example, in verse 12, talks about the wayside. It says, "Those by the wayside are they that have heard." They that have heard is a phrase that's stated with every single soil. They that have heard. So therefore, they have all listened. And the power of the message of which they listen is going to depend upon the heart. Now you begin to see in that one and all the rest of them that if the heart is hard, what they're listening to is affected by the condition of the heart. If you're persecuted, same case with the idea of the rocky ground. If you're dealing with persecution and difficulties and challenges of life, and you're dealing with a lot of temptations, then that heart condition of which you're in has a tendency to affect what you're listening to. Same thing with the idea of the thorny ground. Things in the world crowd out all the things that the ears hear. But then there's this one in verse 15. The honest and the good ground. Rich, fertile, open, very willing to accept the seed. And the condition of that heart has a lot to do with which that person's hearing. Therefore, a very good example. So here's the thing that you and I should think about. Is that whether it's individual, I'm reading my Bible, or we're collectively in a class or in a situation like this, and we're listening to what's been said, here's our prayer. Pray, God, give me ears to hear, a heart to listen, and put out of my heart that what hinders me from listening. Let me give you an example of that. Here in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 21, here's what he says about the power of the word. Wherefore, put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Take away, in essence, he is saying, take away whatever it is that's hindering the process and the progress of the word. That will, he says in verse 21, save your souls. The hindrance to the saving of the soul depends upon the condition of the heart of which this word is spoken into. Therefore, if it's clouded with filthiness and a lot of wickedness, it will not receive with meekness. The receiving with meekness is that which says, okay, speak it to me, tell me, read it to me, let me listen to it, I want to pay attention to this, I want to grasp all of this, and I don't want to find my heart soaked with pride, soaked with ideas and the philosophies of the world. I don't want to filter it through all that. I want to filter it through the honest heart that says, this is what I need. This is what I need to be doing. I need to understand the value of making the application to me and how valuable that is to me in my life, and work out and see how this is going to work best, and pray that God help me do this. Psalms chapter 25 says something very interesting here in verse 4 as well as in verse 5. Let's go to two verses here. Psalm 25, verse 4, and verse 5 says, show me thy ways, O Jehovah. Teach me thy ways. Guide me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day. Show me the ways. Teach me the ways. Guide me in the truth. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. Therefore, if we're looking at it from the standpoint, this is the God that speaks to us, the only one that created the world, then therefore, my attitude toward listening is, okay, show me. Read it to me. Guide me in it. Lead me in it. Read it to me. Let me listen. Let me listen to what's being said. And here's one very powerful but practical thing that I want to mention to you before I go to the next point. To be able to listen to the word in order that you know what your heart should be doing is you have to find yourself taking the Bible where it is going to be spoken. Whether it's in an individual, it's a Bible class somewhere, or whether it's in a place like this. Therefore, if you know the Bible is going to be spoken, take it with you where it is spoken so that you will listen to what is spoken. Rather than saying, okay, Michael said just a minute ago before he led the song that this song is going to hopefully go along with the lesson, and it really does, none of self and all of thee. And if anybody were to see the title of the lesson or any particular subject, they would say, in some cases, well, I've heard that lesson before. Or I've heard something similar to this. Therefore, if they know ahead of time the title of the subject, then there's a tendency to kind of say, I know what he's going to say or what she's going to say. In that Bible class that I have or whatever, we know what we're going to talk about. You take the Bible to listen to what's been spoken. There's something here that I think is very important in the case with Samuel that should be true of all of us. And that is the idea of listening is the idea that I'm seeking God. That I'm seeking what it is that God has asked for me to do. It's very similar. Samuel is very similar to what you see happening in the book of Acts chapter 17 with these people we know as the Bereans, who when Paul was and Silas were there, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures whether these things were so. And they weren't examining the scriptures to prove their point or to defend themselves or to say, okay, what he's saying is not right. They're receiving the word with meekness, like James chapter 1:21 says, and they're examining the scriptures and listening to what is said so that they will know if what's being said is the truth, and they want to know what it is they're supposed to be doing. And if what they're doing is right or they need to change it, repent and do what God asked them to do. We find ourselves realizing how important it is to have listening ears and seeing eyes and thinking brains in order to obtain knowledge, to obtain faith, and to obtain hope. Without any of the three, the ears and the eyes and the brain, then we're not going to find ourselves with the faith and the knowledge, the knowledge and the faith and the hope. We're not going to have that. This individual Samuel, as well as these Bereans, help us understand very clearly that this seeking of God has a lot to do with whether or not we're going to listen. And if it is God's way, then I'm really paying attention to. Rather than saying, okay, I'm hoping that what he's going to tell me is something that I may need, or I'm going to approach it with some fixed idea that I've already got some preconceived, traditional, prejudicial thought in my mind. We've got a fixed idea before we approach it to prove our point. God, it's not what God must say or what God might say. It's not what God must say to prove my point and what God may say to me. It's what God does say. What God does say to me. That's the most important thing. The idea of listening has a lot to do with whether or not we're going to find ourselves placing the limitations or the restrictions on what it is that we're saying or that we're hearing God say. And the message that I present to you from Mark chapter 16, Ephesians chapter 4, and Matthew chapter 28 prove that point. If I'm putting restrictions and I'm putting limitations on what it is that God is saying, then it's going to affect my listening. It's going to affect anything that I will do. It is very important that we become to be people who will seek and listen to God, because no servant is in a position to tell his master what to do. No servant is in a position to dictate to his master what instructions the master is allowed to give, and we are servants of God. Luke chapter 17, in what Jesus states here in verse 10, when he discusses, first of all, those that would sin and stumble in verse 1 to verse 5. And then he says in verse 4, then in verse 5 he says, increase our faith. And then he mentions in verse 10, even so you also, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, you will say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So it's not we find ourselves placing the limitations and the restrictions on God and putting in these certain conditions. We find ourselves in the position of the servant, not telling the master what to do. We're listening to what the master instructs the servant to do. As a result of that, what the master wants to do is to bless the servant as a result of his heeding to and listening to and obeying what it is that he has for him to do, or she, like Philippians chapter 4. One of the things that you'll notice in Philippians chapter 4 is that after Paul has instructed these brethren in verse 8 to have a thinking that has to do with what is true and honest and just and pure, then he mentions something in verse 9 by saying, the things which you have both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The blessings that come as a result of seeking God, what it is that God speaks, receive it, hear it, and then you will find the God of peace with you. Hebrews chapter 11 says it this way in verse 6. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those that seek God, then they're going to be rewarded because they come wanting and needing what it is that he says. Not with all these limitations and these restrictions. They're coming to listen to what it is because they know that there's only one possibility that faith can be achieved, and that is through listening. Now, you may have a faith because somebody else has it, and that just may be just traditional, or that may just be because you like them or you appreciate them. Yet the true faith that which you need that does all these things right here comes from listening. Romans chapter 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith is that which is the substance and the hope that all of us need. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is that which brings a victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And faith is for our salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. This faith is essential for all these things. And this is just a short list of all the things that faith brings to us as a result of the most elementary principle, and that is listening. You can't receive it unless you listen. Faith comes, in many instances, by people who have questions that they ask, and they're answered. There are a lot of people that came up to Jesus with questions. A lot of people that came up to the apostles with questions. When the questions were asked, the answers were given. Now, there might have been some people who would continually ask questions. Then there would be some people who would walk away with nothing that they could respond. Many instances because they either didn't want it, didn't like it, or they realized it was convicting and they didn't know what to do next, or unless they wanted to go, as they say, let me go think about this a little bit, I may come back later. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Ask yourself this question. When it comes down to the idea of faith that comes from listening, are we more people who are question seekers, or are we answer seekers? When we listen to the scripture, are we the ones that when the scriptures are read or we read them, do we come away with a question and finding the answer to it, or do we just come up with another question? There is something to be said for faith coming to those that will listen. Maybe with a question, but knowing that the answer to the question that they're wanting answered from the scripture, they're going to get the answer not with a standpoint, okay, I got another question for you. As if to say, the person that has all these questions is trying to come up with some kind of unanswerable question that no one has ever come up with the answer yet. Rather than being the one who will listen to the answer and then saying, okay, that's enough. That's all I need. That answers my question. Or else it's the person who seeks the answer and says, okay, I don't understand quite well, but I'm going to listen more so that I will be able to understand what I should be doing, rather than coming up with all these other questions that are totally unanswerable. There's a tendency sometimes for people, when it comes down to listening, it's not so much that they're seeking faith, but they're just searching for some other question they can ask that no one's ever asked, or they never figured out what the answer is to. Not coming to the point of faith. Faith comes about listening to the answer to the question. Faith is given from the evidence, not aimless wishing and dreams. There's a tendency sometimes for people not to listen to what the Word says, but there's all this wishful thinking. That maybe we'll come up with the answer someday. Maybe somebody will have the answer. Maybe somebody will come up with some intellectual philosophy and give us the answer. Maybe it'll be in a sign somewhere. Maybe it'll be in some kind of dream. Maybe it'll be some kind of event that will happen. Maybe we'll get all our answers in some kind of revelation somewhere that we don't have other than this. Evidence that's already there that will answer the questions, go by that evidence. That's how you have the faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, in this text, after he describes the definition of faith in verse 1, and says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of the creation of the world, he says. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. The word of God, spoken, is what brought about the creation of the world. The evidence is there that from the question you ask, you have found the answer to what it is that you're looking for about who made the world, how did it happen, or where did we come from, or where are we going? When a person continually asks, I just don't understand, I just don't understand, I don't know if I ever come to the point. Those people sometimes that always say those things have never, in many instances, not always, but in many instances, don't look at the scripture. Don't listen to the word. I don't know if I'll ever understand. I don't know if anybody will ever understand. I don't know if we'll ever come up with the answer. Those are the people in some cases who've never gone to the scriptures. And listen to what God says. We need to be people who are like Peter was. In the book of John chapter 6, after there was some things that Jesus said that were hard to understand. Matter of fact, in verse 60, the disciples that were there listening to Jesus says, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Okay, for most people, they say, well, I just don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me. Walks away, never comes back. Peter, after Jesus turns to the 12 in verse 67, says, well, would you also go away? You're going to turn away too. And Peter says, well, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. The fundamental establishment of what Peter says is upon the one who speaks, God, Jesus. As a result of that, he says, we're going to listen. We're going to pay attention. We want you to tell us. We want more. Instruct us. Teach us. We are teachable. Give us instruction we need until we know, until we understand, until we grasp what it is that you want us to do. Because you lead us to heaven. No one else does. No one else can get us there. We must be the people who will do that. Listening is its intent is toward the purpose of obedience. Once the faith is received from the listening, then the intent of the listening is so that you will obey, not debate, argue, justify, and hesitate. The tendency is for us to maybe do either one of those four or maybe some others to say, okay, we listen to this, and then we just kind of balk at it, and we try to work through a heart that is, just like I said, when I go in the book of Luke chapter 8, it's either persecuted heart or tempted heart or a hard heart or a worldly heart, and we filter the word through that and say, okay, wait a minute. I'm not too sure about this. Now, it may not be that you're too sure. It may not be that you fully understand. It may not be that you come up to the point of fully grasping everything. Yet, are you willing to listen to the point of the intent of obedience? Bow the knee, bend the wheel, repent of the sin, and follow the leader. In the book of John, chapter 7, verse 17, says, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. And then in chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's pretty powerful, to see what it is that God does in the hearts of people who listen to the point of their wanting obedience. I want to tell you this, give you this message here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 24 as we conclude our lesson this morning. This is one of the most powerful examples of all scripture of where an individual, first of all, he is told, this is how you respond to what I'm about to say. Now take away what most people will do under these circumstances, and I'll read it to you in just a moment, and I want you to read it with me. take away what most people will do in response to this situation. Remove yourself from how you feel about it. I want you to pay attention to what it is I'm instructing you to do. Ezekiel 24:15. The word of Jehovah came to me and said, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desires of thy eyes with a stroke. Yet thou shalt neither mourn nor weep, neither shalt thy tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind thy head tire upon thee, and put thy shoes upon your feet. Cover not your lips, and eat not the bread of men. Period. Now watch this. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Now immediately, most people are going to look at that and say, well, he's asking a little bit too much there. He's giving me instruction here that's just way beyond what I'm capable of doing. Traditionally, we have a lot of things that we do in the process of mourning. There's a lot of things that we normally feel. He's not wanting me to feel. Maybe we feel sorry for Ezekiel. And maybe we think that what God's doing, he's putting some suffering on his people that is really unjust. But that's not it. The point is, verse 27, is that he's trying to teach the people through what happens with Ezekiel a lesson. In that day shall thy mouth be open to them, to him that has escaped. And thou shalt speak and be it more dumb, so shalt thou be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. This is going to be a sign for the people of God. They need to be paying attention to what God has to say. And you're going to be the one I'm going to use as an example of someone who will listen to what it is I say to the point of obedience. Not justification, not arguing, not debating, not hesitating, but bowing the knee, bending the will, and repenting of the sin and following the leader. Doing what it is that I'm asking you to do. That's the intent with a listening. Folks, I'm telling you, that's pretty powerful. To say this to a man and then follow these instructions. It's the condition of the heart that leads the man to do what he does as an example to the people of what you do when you listen. You think about the people in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they heard what Peter and the apostles had to say about Jesus, and then they said, well, men and brethren, what do we do? What are we supposed to do now? I mean, we feel guilty, we're ashamed, we're in sin, we killed the Savior. What do we do now? Jesus. And Peter told them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And I don't know the numbers of the people that were there. Some people say there was into the thousands. But it does say that later that there were about 3,000 souls that were saved. Some people listen with the intent of following through with whatever it was that they needed to do to remove the sin. And that same message is for us today. Without debating, without arguing, without hesitating, without justifying, but being silent and listening to the point of obedience. You know what to do to be saved. We just mentioned that, Acts 2:38. For those people that already are, that are Christians, and they begin to be so absorbed in listening to the things around the world rather than listening to God, then now it's time to repent and say, God, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me how to live better. Tell me how to please thee. With repentance and prayer to God for forgiveness, those sins will be washed away and justified in the eyes of the Lord. Just do what's right while together we sing this song.